So this afternoon, our reading is from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, and we are returning to the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen. Friends, it's been a few weeks since we've looked at these Beatitudes, these amazing teachings from our Lord Jesus Christ, teachings that remind us about how we as God's people can find true and lasting blessing in our lives. And so we've already considered in past weeks what it means to be poor in spirit and to mourn and to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness and to be merciful. And if you have missed any of those messages, then you can find them on our website, and I'd encourage you to do so. But tonight we reach Beatitude number 6, and it is the one that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And so what we want to do tonight is we want to explore these words and consider what they really mean and how we can live them out. Now, the first thing that we need to realize is that purity of heart, it is of the utmost importance. You know, when I first thought about this beatitude this past week, it very quickly turned my mind back to Psalm 24. And that's a psalm that begins with the author David saying, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." At the beginning of this psalm, we're reminded that the Lord Yahweh is the almighty creator of this universe and of all of us. And so we are nothing without him. Our lives are quite literally in his hands. But then, in the very next verse, David asks a very pertinent question. "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" We may well owe our existence to God, but yet we are cut off from him, living in an unnatural state of separation from our Maker. And so David asks, how then can we be reunited with God, the God who made us? Who can approach his sacred throne? Who can dwell in his perfect presence, both now and in eternity? And perhaps you remember the answer. David says, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." And then to strengthen the link to our beatitude even more, the next verse says, "They They will receive blessing from their Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. So, my friends, how important is it to be pure in heart? Well, it is the very difference between being disconnected from our Creator, banished from the source of life and everything good, removed and separated from the one who made us and who holds our future in our hands. It is the very difference between being cut off from Him and being unreservedly reconciled to Him, being able to draw near, being able to know Him and experience His love and protection and benefit in our lives, being able to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And so, as it says in Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, for without holiness no one will see the Lord. And so it's little wonder, is it, that Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Because they will see God. But then the next thing we need to consider is, if purity of heart is of such vital importance that it stands even between us and our Lord, then what exactly is this? What is this state that we are seeking to achieve? Well, I want us to start with that word pure. On its most basic level, it's a word that means that something is free from impurity, from any adulteration or any contamination. And so we might talk about pure air, or pure drinking water, or pure gold. But when we apply the word to ourselves, it of course means to be free from immorality and wickedness and sin. But the word pure also has a sense of absoluteness and perfection about it, doesn't it? It's a total freedom from corruption, a total freedom from filth and evil. That's why that passage in Hebrews spoke about holiness. And so when Jesus speaks about purity, he's speaking about being completely righteous. He's speaking about being faultless and spotless and blameless. That's why in Hebrews chapter 7, in describing the ultimate intercessor, the author says, such a high priest truly meets our need, the one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. But if that's what Jesus means by pure, then we also need to think about why he adds the word heart. After all, he could have just said, blessed are the pure, full stop. But instead, he chose to say, blessed are the pure in heart. Well, the addition of this word reminds us that the purity that is spoken of isn't just something that's on the outside. It's not just an external appearance. It's not just about outward impressions or behaviours or reputations. No, the heart represents our innermost being, our entire personhood, our true selves. And so Jesus isn't just talking about acting pure or looking pure or making people think that you're pure. Jesus is talking about actually being pure. He doesn't want us to be like filthy water packaged in a nice clean bottle. He doesn't want us to be like a dirty lump of coal coated in a beautiful coat of gold paint. He wants us to be the real deal, both holy both within and without, blameless in reputation and in reality. That's why in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. And so, my friends, this beatitude speaks to us of those who are pure, holy, and blameless, but not only in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God Himself. Because it is God who sees straight through the performances and the pretenses. He sees what lies deep within when the crowds are gone, when the masks are removed, and when the filters are switched off. But this then, of course, leads to another question, and it is an extremely disturbing question. Because we have seen that purity of heart is of utmost importance, standing between us and the Lord, and we've seen that purity of heart is a perfect holiness that should not just be evident on the outside, but genuine on the inside. But as we think about that, then of course we begin to ask ourselves, which of us could ever reach such a lofty goal? Who can honestly say here tonight that they are pure in heart? I mean, we all try to put up the facade, don't we? We put on our Sunday smiles so people think we've got it all together, that we're living the high moral life, never stepping out of line. But what does God see when He looks at the inside? In Job chapter 14, it says, "Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one." In Proverbs chapter 20, it says, "Who can say, 'I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin'?" In Jeremiah 17, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And in Romans chapter 1, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And in Matthew chapter 15, just a few chapters after the Beatitudes, Jesus Himself told us that the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. So what do you think? Would you like to come up the front here right now and tell us all that you're the one exception to the rule, that your life is perfect inside and out, that you're absolutely pure in heart? Would you in fact like to stand before the Lord and tell Him that you are in fact worthy to enter into His presence? Well, I'm telling you here tonight that I wouldn't, because I'm far from pure. I fail every single day. And so do you. But where does that leave us? Am I saying that we can never be blessed? That we're destined to never see God? To be cut off from Him forever? Well, in and of ourselves, that's exactly what I am saying. But that's why we can be so incredibly thankful that there is more to this story than that. My friends, do you remember the words of Psalm 51? Psalm 51, where King David was busy confessing his failures before the Lord, telling God about his own impurity. After committing blatant acts of adultery and murder and deceit, he laid it all out, all his sins and his transgressions, his iniquity and his hypocrisy. And so despite the fact that he had this special relationship with God, we in the end discovered that David was no different to us. But what did he say in Psalm 51, verse 10? David cried out to the Lord, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You see, we may not be pure in heart in of ourselves, and we may never be capable of attaining a pure heart in and of ourselves. But my friends, that is what we are incapable of doing, but the Lord can do. The God who made us is able to provide us with perfect righteousness. He can create in us a pure heart. And the way he does that is through his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For my friends, unlike every one of us here tonight, Jesus is the one who actually was pure in heart. He was human, make no mistake, but yet he was perfect. He was righteous and he was blameless. And not just partially, but totally. He was completely without sin. And not just on the outside, but on the inside. He was utterly obedient to his Father in thought and in word and in deed. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 4 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was he did not sin." And so he is the high priest who I mentioned earlier, who truly meets our need, the one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. You see, the whole point is that by his righteous life and his sacrificial death, Jesus does create in us a pure heart. As far as God is concerned, all of our sins are completely paid for. All of our failures are totally dealt with. And so when he looks at us, what does he see? He sees a person who is pure in heart. He sees a person who reflects the perfection of his own Son. As Paul wrote in Titus chapter 2, "Jesus is the one who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." As it says in Hebrews chapter 1, "After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Or as John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." And again in chapter 3, John writes, "All those who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." So my friends, our question is, who can say that they are pure in heart? Who can claim to be utterly holy, both on the outside and within? And the answer is us. Every one of us, but only through faith in the Holy Son of God. For any person who trusts in Jesus Christ and in him alone is now pure in heart and holy in God's sight. They are justified and they appear before him as though they had never sinned nor been a sinner. To put it in more theological terms, through faith, God imputes to us the righteousness of Christ, for we are covered by his blood and the purity of his heart is now ours. But then there's one more question that we want to address, and that is, if we have been made pure through faith in Jesus Christ, does that then mean that we don't need to concern ourselves with the actual purity of our own hearts? Can we just live how we want, knowing that we're covered by the Saviour's blood? Well, my friends, the answer to that is no, we can't, but even more importantly, neither will we want to. For when the Lord creates in you a pure heart, he's not only conducting a legal transaction that changes your standing before him, but he is performing a heart transplant that transforms your inmost being to its very core. You see, Jesus' death on the cross, it provides the victory over the guilt of our sin, so that we are now innocent in God's sight. But let us never forget that it also provides victory over the power of our sin, so that we are no longer slaves to our old sinful natures. And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we are now gloriously changed, so that we can grow in holiness and righteousness and purity. As we also already saw in Titus chapter 2, Jesus has purified us, but Paul also said he has made us eager to do what is good. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul urges us, keep yourself pure. And in Titus chapter 2, he says, be self-controlled and pure. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he explains this even further, saying, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see, my friends, if we know that we were once in the most terrible position they could ever have been, eternally cut off from our God because of our own sin, but yet despite the fact that we did not deserve this at all, he reconciled us to himself, making us pure in his sight through the costly sacrifice of his own Son, then how could we desire anything less than to live for him? How could we desire anything less than to strive to live according to his will? That doesn't mean that we won't fail, because we will every day. But when we fail, we won't be happy about it. In fact, we will grieve. It'll grieve us deeply, so much so that it will drive us back again to the cross, where we will be reminded again of what Jesus has done for our salvation. And that will motivate us then to take up our cross once more and to follow him. And my friends, we will continue to strive right until the end, when God has promised that he will complete this glorious process, when every last impurity will finally be removed and we will be made perfect at last. In his commentary, Don Carson describes it like this: the Christian purifies himself now because pure is what he will ultimately be. His present efforts are consistent with his future hope. The disciple of Jesus who looks forward to the kingdom as it will be finally perfected is already determined to prepare themselves for it. And so, as we conclude this message this afternoon, I want us to consider how we should react to this beatitude today. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, how should we respond? Well, I think the first thing we need to do is confess that we're not pure in heart, not even close. Even on our best day, we'll never reach the kind of holiness that God requires, that total and complete purity that's not just on the surface but that is deep within. But my friends, when we accept that inconvenient truth, then surely we will be compelled to cry out with David all those years ago, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And we can rejoice in the glorious assurance that our God will do just that, that he purifies us by the precious blood of his Son, who lived and who died and who rose again, in order to cleanse us from our sin and to make us righteous in his sight. And when we have truly understand what God has so graciously done for us, well, my friends, then we won't be able to stand idly by and accept our old ways anymore, but rather we will look at ourselves and we'll be thinking, how can I strive to bring my life in line with the purity that's already been imputed to me? And so as the Holy Spirit gets to work in us, we'll be increasingly transformed into the image of Christ. And my friends, as those changes keep happening in our lives, do you know what will happen? We will find ourselves drawing ever, ever nearer to the Lord. We will know Him more intimately. We will love Him more deeply. We will trust Him more intensely. And that process will continue until that glorious day when we will indeed see Him face to face, when He will welcome us into His loving arms, and when He will make everything new. So, my friends, let us indeed dwell on these words tonight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, how we thank you for the blessing of your word. Lord, we just don't know where we would be without it. But Father, we know that we would not know you and we would not know your salvation. And Father, we want to thank you that we've been able to dwell on that again tonight. Lord, we thank you for these Beatitudes that Jesus taught us. And Father, we thank you for helping us to think about what it means to be pure in heart. Lord God, not one of us can claim that purity in ourselves. But Father, we thank you that you have provided it to us through Jesus. And Lord, we pray that every person here tonight would be able to claim that for themselves, knowing that by faith in Jesus, they can have that purity that we could never earn. And Lord, we pray that as we know that we have that we know that we are perfect in your sight, that then frees us from the power of sin and enables us to start living for you more and more each day. And Lord, we pray that would be evident in every single one of our lives, that we would be breaking those old habits, becoming free from those addictions. Lord, that we would find more and more ways to serve you and to stop doing those things that we know are not pleasing in your sight. And Lord, if we are struggling with that, if we feel like we've come to a stop, if we feel like we're going backwards, Lord, we pray that you would work in us once more, that you would give us an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, and that we would seek to walk in step with your Spirit, and that by so doing you would work in us again, that we might go forward day by day, looking forward to that time when we will indeed see you face to face. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your promises, and we thank you that you have solved the problem that we never could solve, and that in you we have found love and grace and forgiveness. Lord, we bring these prayers before you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.